place. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your grace and mercies in our lives. We thank you for your interventions. Thank you, Lord. You have not allowed us to seek you in vain. You have not allowed us to pray in vain. You always hear us. You always help us. Thank you, faithful Lord. We thank you for the battles you fought for us and give us the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power that is working in our lives on a daily basis. Thank you for helping us to live the kind of life that is pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your joy that fills our hearts. Thank you for your peace that we enjoy every day. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you for those things we do not know before that we now know, because you opened our eyes to see them. And we thank you for the transformation we have experienced through the light of your truth. Thank you, Jesus. We are not deceived. We are not confused. And we are not in darkness, because you have shown your light upon us. You have given us your light. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for those things you have taught us here on this platform during every Bible study class. We thank you because our lives have been shaped correctly through these teachings. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that as we would be rounding off the teaching on building a strong discerning spirit today, as we will be looking at the last topic today, oh Lord, speak to everyone. Speak to every heart. In the name of Jesus, let everyone be blessed. Let everyone be edified by your Holy Spirit and by the entrance of your word. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful Lord, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the last topic. The last topic in the Bible study series we have been doing. We're going to be looking at the last topic today. Because we are finishing today, I'm going to take you back to where we started and do a brief recap of the things I have taught on this theme, building a strong discerning spirit. We started from the introduction, where I really talked on many things. I talked on the beginning of darkness, the root of darkness, the rising of the light, the confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness, the relationship between death and darkness, the relationship between life and light, discernment as a cutting edge. Yeah, I can't mention all. I'm just trying to remind you of those things. And then we moved to part one, where I said the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. That is what that was the part one we talked about. Yeah. And a lot of things under the part one, your spirit came directly from God and had known God from the beginning. Your spirit gave life to your body, and your body is existing because of your spirit. Your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. These points are under the part one that says the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. Your spirit makes you a god that is smaller than G. And then the advancement and civilization of your spirit is similar to that of angels. Your spirit can travel through millions of spiritual and invisible realms. And then there's no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. And then your spirit yearns for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. And then your real identity is your spirit. So all these points are under part one. Then we moved to part two, where I said understanding the negative influence your soul and body have on your spirit. Yeah, we talked on many things. Yeah, many things here, such as the deception of reality, how darkness changed our reality. Your body partners with the world system to kill your spirit the more. Yeah, we talked on releasing your spirit to rule over your soul and body. in between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. Yeah, so many things there. Because of time, I don't want to. And then we move to part 4, which says discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. And then we move to part 5, which says discerning the realm of God and his angels. Yeah, and today we are looking at the last point under this part 5. And that will be the end of the whole teaching on, the whole teaching title that says building a strong discerning spirit. I'm trusting God that we can convert all of these teachings into a book. Yeah, I'm trusting God that we'll be able to type them out as words and do thorough editing of those parts of it that should be removed, especially those parts where there's a lot of repetitions or we know what to do. So I'm trusting God that we'll be able to turn this Bible study, just as we did to one, though that was not yet in a book form, but we have compiled that one already. We did a similar thing to the Bible study teaching that is titled, that we titled The Wonders of God's Grace. Yeah, so we were able to compile that one into a book, not a book form, but we compiled it together. So now we can edit it and print it as a book. We'll be able to compile it soon. And I would want us to print our teachings with the help of God, by the grace of God. Yeah, so let's look at the last topic under this teaching series. The last topic. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to ask the question, but I'm going to skip that because of time. Yeah. So I'm going straight to the teaching. The last topic says, whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic interventions. That is, this is today's topic now, what we are dealing with today. It says, whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic intervention. You ask for angelic intervention. Whenever you ask for grace, whenever you pray for grace, whenever you trust God for grace, you ask for angelic intervention. And I have said it earlier that the definition of grace is God's ability in action. God's ability in action. Yeah, grace is that point where God's, where, you know, is that point where human strength is no more, or is completely replaced with God's strength. That is grace. Yeah. That is grace. Grace is the disappearance of human strength. Human strength for the appearance of my, of God's strength. The disappearance of human strength for God's strength to appear. That is grace. That is grace. So it is God's ability in action. God's ability in action. So anytime you pray for grace, you are indirectly asking for angelic interventions. Anytime you pray for grace. And the whole of Christianity is all about grace. Yeah, because everything that Jesus commands us to do, our human strength and nature cannot do them. Even though it can try, but it cannot do them perfectly. Our human wisdom, human strength cannot please God. Yeah. So that is why we must depend on God, even to please God. We must ask for God's help to please Him. We must ask for God's help to become what He wants us to become, to do the things He wants us to do. Yeah. So Christianity is all about grace. And Jesus came to die on the cross for redemption and deliverance and salvation and transformation. Because He knows that by our strength, by ourselves, we cannot be saved. We cannot please God. Yeah. He knows that. And God knows that. Yeah. So every day of our lives, we must live depending on God's grace. We must live by God's grace. So our faith must be on God for His grace. That is, we must apply faith on the Word of God to receive grace from God to do everything we have been called to do. Our failure to depend on God's grace is going to lead to a disaster. There's no way you can succeed without God's grace, except you are going to either end up in self-righteousness or partner with the devil. Yeah, there's no way you can lies. It's not possible. There's no way you can move forward. There's no way you can win battles without His grace. It's not possible. There's no way you can discover your purpose, your divine purpose. Why God has created you. Why God has placed you in this earth without God's grace. And there's no way you can fulfill that purpose without His grace. There's no way. There's no way you can fulfill your calling and destiny and ministry without God's grace. And so we must always seek God for grace, because that is how we can succeed in this life, and that is how we can really enjoy our Christian life. Yeah, so I'm repeating the topic again. It says, whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic intervention. Let us look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 16. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that Moses was able to show people, he was able to show the Israelites the standard of God, the law, what God wants from them, how God wants them to live. Yeah. But it was like a battle for the Israelites to do those laws and to do it correctly. It was a great battle, because even Moses, along the line, misbehaved, by allowing hunger and pride. He misbehaved. He offended God by allowing anger and pride to overtake his emotions. And that was how he couldn't enter into the promised land. Though he made it to heaven or to paradise, but he couldn't make it to the promised land. So the law was really, there was nothing wrong through Moses, but to fulfill it was a serious battle. Of course, there were some of them that found grace because their eyes were opened. People like David, people like found grace. Yeah. And we're righteous. Yeah, but many of them could not fulfill the law that was given through Moses. Many of them failed. Yeah, many of them failed. And because it was very hard for them to do those laws, what made it very hard? We know the human nature made it very hard for them to fulfill the law that came through Moses. The human nature made it very hard. The flesh, the Adamic nature, made it very hard. So God saw that, He saw that there's a need for more help so that human beings can make heaven and not perish in hell forever. So that was why God sent Jesus to the earth. Yeah, He saw that the law was not enough, and that the law could not actually save mankind. Yeah, because even those that even those that tried their best to fulfill the law, they still did not enter heaven. They only went down into paradise. Paradise was beneath the earth at that time. So they were just kept in a place beneath the earth. Yeah, somewhere beneath the earth. They were kept there, waiting for Jesus that would liberate them and take them to heaven. So from the onset, the law has a lot of limitations. I mean, the dispensation of the law came with a lot of limitations. Yeah, because even Abraham only made it to the paradise, and that paradise that Abraham made it to by obeying God's commandments, that paradise was beneath the earth. It was when Jesus resurrected from the grave that He took the paradise that was under the earth and took it up into heaven. Yeah, you can read, it's in Matthew, I can look for it. You can read it, it's in the scriptures. It was when Jesus died that He took the saints, or the people who were faithful to the Old Testament laws, and they were kept in paradise under the earth. It was after Jesus had died and resurrected that He took those people from the ground up with Him into heaven. Yeah. So you can see that the time of the law was full of a lot of limitations. Number one, the people find it so hard to obey the law because of the flesh, because of their human nature. And then number two, there was limits to how much of God's presence they can enjoy. Yeah, there was a limit to how much they can draw close to God. Yeah. So many of many things that we enjoy, that we enjoy now, they don't have access to them. That is, many things we are enjoying in God's kingdom now, many things we are enjoying in Christ now, they don't have access to those things because there were a lot of limitations in that dispensation. But thanks to God for giving us Jesus and for letting him die on the cross for our sins and to destroy our human nature. Thanks to God. So now grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, which means that by that grace we are able to fulfill even the law that was given by Moses. We are able to fulfill those laws, that were given by Moses. And not only that, by grace we are also able to fulfill the laws that were given by Jesus Christ. You know, there were laws that were given by Moses. And then when Jesus came, there were laws that Jesus also gave that Moses did not give to people. You can read your Bible, you will see all of these things there. There were laws that Jesus gave that Moses didn't give the disciples. For instance, Jesus told the people, he said, it was written, or you have read it in the law, that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That is, if anyone strike your eyes, and your eyes got blind, according to the law of Moses, so you too, you have to strike that person's eye and make sure the eye of that person go blind too. Yeah. So, according to the law of Moses, you repay evil with evil. But then Jesus said, this is the law that I have given to you. Moses said that. Or God gave that through Moses. But I have come giving you a better law. Better than that one of Moses. He said, Jesus said, repay evil with good. He said that is his own law. Don't repay evil with evil. In fact, he went further to say, if anyone slap you on the right cheek, he said, turn your left cheek for the person to slap it again. Yeah. He said it has been written in the law that you should hate your enemies. Yeah, but he said, I am giving you my own law, and my own law is love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. In fact, he went further to say, pray for your enemies. Yeah, so these are Jesus' laws. Yeah, you can, it's in the scripture, it's just that some pastors may not preach those kind of things because they are still full of the flesh. They are so carnal. So they won't tell you that there is Moses' laws and there is Jesus' laws. Yeah. So Jesus gave many laws. Yeah, many laws. In addition to what Moses gave, and some it directly replaces what Moses gave the people. Even concerning marriage, Jesus gave his own law concerning marriage. Yeah. He said, there's no way out. There's no, how do I say it? Yeah, this is what he said. He said, except for the case of sexual immorality, an husband should not divorce his wife. As in no case should an husband divorce his wife, except for sexual immorality. But in the law of Moses, just look at it. Maybe you just wake up in the morning, and then you just look at your wife, you look at her, and then you feel like, I hate this woman. She's frustrating me. Then what you do is just, like, just write a letter that I married this woman so time, but now I don't really feel any love in my heart for her anymore. So I'm writing this letter saying that I have legally divorced her. So anyone else can marry her because I have released her from my life. So you just write that letter, and then you give the woman, and then you tell the woman you tell the woman to get out. So that was how it went during the time of Moses. Yeah, but Jesus came and he began to give new laws. He began to show us the life of God's kingdom. Yeah, he began to show us how to live our lives the way they live in God's kingdom. Not just to become a better human being, but to become sons of God. Yeah, so Jesus wants us to live as sons of God in God's kingdom, not as a nice human being, not as a morally good person, but as sons of God. So which means we need grace to actually fulfill the laws that Jesus gave. You know, at the point I was looking at all those laws that Jesus gave in the Bible, and I was like, there's no way any human being whose flesh has not died can fulfill these laws of Jesus. Yeah. I now understood why Apostle Paul began to break it down, and he began to talk about the sinful nature, the flesh, the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit, how we should live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And I begin to understand why Jesus gave Apostle Paul those revelations. Yeah, because Jesus knows that there is no way we will fulfill his laws. Not, we're talking about Jesus' laws here, which is far greater than the laws of Moses. Jesus knows that there's no way any man will fulfill these laws if the nature of sin in us, the Adamic nature, is not dead. So we need grace we inherited from Adam, to keep it under subjection, to keep it dead. We need grace. We need great grace. Great grace. Yeah, and then today I look at the church, and I began to see that many of us in the church, we are not even up to the standard of the Old Testament saints. So our situation have really gone worse. So even the laws of Moses, the laws that came through Moses, many of us in the church today cannot even fulfill them. Yeah, let alone fulfill the laws that Jesus told us to fulfill. Yeah, so I saw that our situation has really gotten so worse in this dispensation of grace. We have gotten so worse that the people in the Old Testament seems to even do better than us in the way they honor God, feared God, respect God, and pleased God. Yeah, I begin to see that many of them did so better than us. So many of them, they really are going to condemn this generation in judgment. Yeah, when Jesus begins to judge every one of us, those saints in the Old Testament, they're going to condemn this generation. Yeah, and what are they going to say? They're going to say, you people have access to grace that we never had access to. And you people still messed up. Yeah, that's what the Old Testament saints will say during judgment. They would say, you New Testament Christians had access to a lot of grace we in our own time did not have access to. And yet you messed up. And yet you failed to do even what we did for God. The obedience we did. The righteousness we did. Yeah, the faith life we lived. So we really need to repent a lot in this generation. And we really need to repent a lot. Yeah. Because it is well. So I don't want to speak much on that. My focus is that we must ask for grace to please God. We must ask for grace. We must trust in His grace. And then we must not pamper our flesh. Don't pamper your flesh. Your human nature, which is sinful from birth, which hates God from birth. Don't pamper that nature. Yeah, there is grace to kill that nature. Embrace that grace. Always ask for more of that grace. Always trust for that grace. Yeah. In the Old Testament, the people, they were permitted to get hungry. There was no law that really says that. Don't get hungry. Or don't kill. Of course, there was a law that said don't kill. But the law doesn't say don't just kill. The law doesn't say don't kill your enemies. Yeah. Yeah. You can kill your enemies. In the Old Testament, you can kill anyone that is against your faith, or anyone that is. In fact, you can kill anyone that is worshipping all idols, and you'll be righteous. Still, yeah. Any country that wants to invade Israel in those days, you can kill them. Yeah. But the law of Jesus says, don't kill. Don't get angry. Even if you happen to be angry, the anger must not lead you to sin. You must not let the anger make you to sin against God. Yeah. And in fact, you must not let the sun set while you are still angry. Let's say you get angry, you got angry in the morning. According to the law of Jesus, the law of Christ in the New Testament, you must not let the sun set with you still having that anger. Yeah. Before sun sets, you must make sure that your anger is dead. Yeah, you must make sure the anger disappears in your heart or in your mind or in your emotions. So these are the laws of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows that we can't fulfill those laws by our human strength and flesh. And then he has given the grace. In fact, he died so that we can have that grace. And then he wants us to always deny this flesh so that that grace can work in us. But many Christians, they don't want to leave the flesh. They want to embrace the flesh. I still want to enjoy the grace. How does that make sense? The same flesh that Jesus died so that that flesh can die. And now you say you want that flesh. You want that nature of sin. You want it to continue to rule in your life. And then you want the grace of Jesus to join. So you want to join grace with flesh together in your life. That's foolishness. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, so stop pampering your flesh. Stop feeding your flesh with the things it craves for. If you really want to have any part in God's kingdom. Yeah, may God help us. Yeah, so according to the topic we are dealing with today, which says, whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic intervention. Yeah, so there are a lot of angels that God has assigned to help us in this Christian race. Yeah. But we must continue to seek for his grace. We must continue to trust for his grace. And we must continue to do our own part. Repent where necessary. Deny your flesh where necessary. And then these angels that have been assigned, they will do their job. Let us also look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. This verse is talking about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be his heirs of salvation? So angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So what does that mean? It means that a lot of angels have been released to minister, to do a lot of work for us. Yeah, to do for us what our human strength and human nature cannot do. To do for us what we are limited to do, because we are living in this human body. Yeah, so angels have been released to do all these things because we are the heirs of God, heirs of salvation. Yeah, we are the heirs of God, heirs of salvation. So we are those who will inherit salvation. That has many of heirs of salvation. Yeah. And even now, we already have a part of that salvation. But then we have the fullness of that salvation when we make it into God's kingdom at last. When we enter into heaven at last, after being tried and tested and proved in this world. Yeah, because this world is to test us, to test you. That is why God did not remove you from the earth on the day you surrendered your life to Jesus. Yeah, because you must be tested and tried and proved as you journey through this world. Your faith shall be tested. Your love for God shall be tested. Yeah. And as you pass those tests, you begin to qualify for salvation. Yeah, I pray that you will not perish with this world. I pray that you will overcome sin, temptations, and Satan, and that you will inherit salvation in the end, in Jesus' name. Yeah. So unlike what some people think, angels are not sinners. And they don't draw closer to sinners. Yeah. But some people, they think they are just some generous creatures who don't really care about the kind of life you live. In fact, some people, they have books that contains names of angels. I don't know how they got those names, Because the Bible only revealed some few names of angels. So some people, they have book that contained or that contains names of angels. And then they just call those angels, they say, they just call those names. I say, I'm calling this angel to go and do this for me. I call this other one. I call this one. I don't know, I think it's demons they are calling, because you can't get angels to do anything for you if your life is not in agreement with the will of God. It's not possible. Yeah, you can't get angels to fight for you, to defend you, to help you, to protect you, if your life is not in agreement with the will of God. Yeah, so angels are really ready to help those that are ready to do the will of God, ready to please God. Those that are really doing all that Jesus has commanded. Yeah, so angels really, they are interested in such people. So if we pursue after righteousness, we are going to see a lot of angels help us to have that righteousness we are pursuing after. Yeah, so I've really encountered different kind of angels that are passionate to see Christians please God. Yeah. And they do everything in their power to help such Christians. Christians who really want to please God. Yeah. I've met with many of such angels. Yeah. So if you are able to do the will of God, be sure that you have received help from angels to be able to do the will of God. If you're able to live holy, apart from the help that comes through the Holy Spirit, angels also offer their helps. I don't need to go into details of how they do that, but just know that they are part of the grace of God. Angels are part of the grace of God. So whenever we ask for grace, they show up. Yeah, because they have everything. Everything that we would need. Yeah, they have been trained. They have been empowered to do those things for us. Yeah, they have been equipped to do those things for us. So we really have a lot the Old Testament believers didn't have. We have access to a lot that they don't have access to. Yeah, we have access to a lot. So if you will really depend on God in everything you do, angels will be very close to you. If you are the type that you don't trust in your wisdom, in your strength, in your abilities, in your skills, but you always trust in God's strength, in God's grace, then angels will be so much in your life, doing all sorts of works in your life to help you, succeed and prosper. Now let's look at the last scripture before we would round off the teaching. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Yeah, he said, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You can't trust God in vain. It's not possible. You can't trust God in vain. You can't. You can't depend on God in vain. If anyone tells you that he or she trusted God, that I mean trusted God fully, for a length of time, and God did not show up, and God did not help that person, is either that person is a liar, or that person was still living in sin while he or she sins, he is trusting God, or she is trusting God. Yeah, there's no way you can trust God in vain. It's not possible. It's not possible. Yeah, because God's grace does not fail. Yeah, there's no way. You can check through the scriptures. You can search throughout the scriptures. No one has ever trusted God and lose. No one. No one. Yeah. So if it doesn't happen in the time of the scriptures, there's no way it will happen now. If the people that trusted God then did not regret and did not suffer loss, then you can't trust God and lose. It's not possible. And the problem with people is that fear. Yeah. It's fear. They feel like, what if I didn't get lesson is fear. Yeah. And then some they are not after pleasing God 100%. They are not living holy, and yet they are trusting God for some things. Yeah, so even if God released those things, he's not sure that they will get those things. Yeah, because let's say for instance, the angel that was to deliver your package was already at the door. And then when the angel got close, the angel began to smell lust. Yeah. The angels begin to smell that Your life is so full of lust and immoralities. Or maybe at that time you were even angry with someone, quarreling someone. danger will just go back. Yeah. You feel like this person is not ready yet. In fact, there's a standby demon that will stop the angel and say, no, you can't give this person this blessing. Look at the life she's living. Didn't the scripture say whoever commits sin is of the devil? Yeah, so the angel will quote the Bible. I mean, the demon will quote the Bible to the angel that has been sent to deliver your package. Yeah, and when the angel does his own investigation and sees that you were guilty, the angel will just go back with the blessing. Yeah, so if we trust God correctly, it can never be in vain. There's no way. If we trust God correctly, with the right heart, living the right life, you should live, and then suffer loss, it's impossible. I mean, it's so impossible. Yeah. There's no way you would trust God without fear and suffer loss. It's not possible. I mean, I've not seen it happen. If it happened, then something is wrong somewhere. Yeah, something is wrong somewhere. Something is wrong somewhere. Yeah, either maybe you gave up along the way when God wanted you to continue to trust Him. Or you went back into sin. Yeah, something, anything that could stop the result of your faith and trust in God is what you did. Yeah, is your whole, I mean, is an error you committed, not that God chose to fail. I hope you understand. Yeah, so Apostle Paul here was saying that he said the grace that was given to him was not in vain. So which means that that grace was not without results. That grace produced results. Yeah, because he is a man that depend on grace a lot. He doesn't depend on his own strength. He depends on God's grace a lot. He seeks for God's grace a lot. And that was why he saw a lot of results from trusting in God's grace. Yeah, he said that, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Yeah. So it was the grace of God that was with him that made him labor so much than the other apostles. Yeah. So if we really trust God sincerely, with the right heart, living the right life, there's no way we will suffer loss. Because His grace is sufficient. His grace is massive. It's so huge. And His grace is so surplus. His grace is everywhere. So God's angels are everywhere, just as His grace is everywhere. So He wants to help as many that will always ask for His help, trust in His help, and not trust in their own wisdom or strength. So when you are always trusting for His help, and not that you are trusting without doing your own part, yeah, but when you are always trusting for His help, and you are doing it correctly, you are going to see a lot of wonders of God's grace that His angels will do in your life. You're going to see a lot of results from God's grace. Yeah, because God's grace appears the moment you show God how helpless you are without Him. The moment you acknowledge how weak you are without Him. And then you say, God, help me. I want to do this for you. I want to please you. Help me. Give me the grace. And then you are determined. You are diligent. You are desperate. I say, I want to really do this. Help me, Lord. And then you make effort. Not that you say, God, I want to do this. Help me. And then you just sit down there smiling and laughing. And then you are not making any efforts. You are not diligent. You are not fighting everything you know you have the power to fight. You are not denying yourself. And then you just sit down and say, oh God, help me. And no, nothing will happen. No help will come. Yeah. So we have to do our own part as we seek for His grace. Even while we are doing our own part, He's helping us to do it well. Yeah. And then even after we have done our own part, He will help us again by showing us that He cares for us. And by showing us that He's ever faithful. Yeah. I pray for you that you will not mess up this system of grace that is in God's kingdom. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you, with your lifestyle, you will not fail the system of God's grace that is working here on earth for believers. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will always do your own part so that the Lord can show you how faithful He is. And how caring He is in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. And by God's grace, we're going to be looking at another teaching series, a new title entirely. Because this topic is the end of all the teachings on discernment. Yeah, on building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah. So if you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for grace you have made available unto everyone that we ask for help. Everyone that we ask for your intervention. Thank you for this great grace you have made available to every believer all over the world. As many whose trust is in you shall partake of this endless flow of your grace. Thank you, Father, for these benefits. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we have learned how it is important that we do our own part to be worthy of your grace, especially that we die to self, that we die to the flesh and to the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here a new heart that does not feel comfortable with sin, a new heart that doesn't feel comfortable with unrighteousness. Lord, give everyone here such heart in the name of Jesus. And I ask that as your people will be trusting you for grace in everything that they do, Lord, release your angels to help them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even new set of angels that has never walked in their lives before, Lord, release them now. In the name of Jesus, so that your people can be satisfied and comforted. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name.